Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday. Mike said it. It's a Friday. You ain't got nothing to do. Come hang out with your boys. We're down here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We'll be here until 6 today because we have a special high school football show as the playoffs get underway. And Sam and Coach are going to have all of the updates and action leading into the Hawks tonight who take on the Bulls. So make sure you get a chance to get out here before 6 o'clock tonight. Mike, real quick, you said you were watching Tech last night. I was too because I wanted to see if they were going to answer the bell, and they did. They found a way to get it done. But I got to tell you, man, I was nervous. I was nervous about whether they were going to pull that one out.
Yeah, man. And the way that Carolina, it's just Carolina State and NC State was just kind of hanging around. And all of a sudden, there'd be nothing going on. Then, whoop, their quarterback would just run seemingly for 40 or 50 yards.
He was running forever.
Right. And, you know, they basically took it down the field in the corners. It was like, will you guys turn around and watch? And I felt, because, look, full disclosure, I've known Brent, you know, since back in the day when he was a player, and I was really pulling for him to get to a nice bowl game because, you know, probably tough to beat Georgia next week. But what a great win. What a gritty win. And, you know, it's so tough because, you know, Haynes King can't throw.
Yes.
His arm is basically, it's a credit to his toughness that he's even out there. But the kid that really has been kind of, I mean, impressing is Aaron Philo.
Yeah.
And what a great job he did, you know, kind of when difficult to get into a rhythm when you're in, you're out, but he stepped up.
Well, he had two big runs as well that really set the tone, especially late.
The game winner.
And, yeah I mean, you talk about the legs of you know, what Haynes King could potentially do. Philo comes in, he throws the ball 33 times last night for Georgia Tech, and I just thought, you know, he played with a lot of composure, man. I mean, they needed him to be big, but that run at the end of the game, 22 seconds left. It's an 18-yard rushing touchdown, his first of his career. I thought that was the moment in which you go, all right, this kid's got it. And to step in this moment right here where they needed a play was absolutely huge. So congratulations, you said it, to Brent Key and Georgia Tech. They are now a 7-win team. They could be an 8-win team, but we'll worry about that because Georgia's got to get past UMass, and we got a bunch of games in front of us this weekend. But I thought last night, that was the grit they needed. And by the way, undefeated at home this year for Georgia Tech.
Right, and it was one of those crazy stats we had where Brett was like 4-11 after a win, which was like a crazy number. So getting that thing off his back too, finding a way to build and not lose momentum after that huge win against the University of Miami. And for those who don't know, that don't follow recruiting, Philo was the guy that set the state record in Georgia quarterback over at Prince Street Christian with 56, Prince Avenue, I should say, over in Beauregard, Georgia. 56 touchdowns he threw his senior year.
Well, he can sling it, man. I mean, you know, you saw that just a glimpse last night. And listen, I think Georgia Tech, when we talk about the run game, it completely got taken away last night. Jamal Haynes was pretty absent, and it wasn't necessarily his fault. 36 yards. He was a guy that I thought would have a big game considering what they did against Miami, and they did a great job of stopping the run. So it put more pressure on Philo to come through, and he did, man. So we'll see. I'm curious to know where they end up, what the projections are. We're starting to see some of that stuff now. With 8-win teams, what's the projection where you're going to end up? It's teams that are not going to be in the college football playoff. But either way, they are building. And I like what I'm seeing at Georgia Tech.
It was funny. I was talking yesterday about, do you want to step out of a dugout or do you want to go down to South? I mean, I will say this. A couple of Tech fans said, look, I'm cool going to Yankee Stadium, you know, if you wind up playing in the Pinstripe Bowl, because there's worse places you can be than around the holidays. Well, go see the tree, you know, and take the train uptown and go to the Bronx and watch them play football. But either way, a great season so far for Georgia Tech. check. And hats off to NC State because I didn't know what to expect. But that kid, C.J. Bailey, kind of reminds you of Jayden Daniels. I mean, he's as skinny as a string bean. And he threw it 30 times, threw three interceptions. So he's got to work on the accuracy. But when he would pick it up and put him down, he was like unstoppable.
Yeah, he stepped in. Their quarterback literally retired from football for concussion issues.
Right.
So he's a freshman that got a chance to play. And, Mike, he's going to be really good. I like what I saw from him as well. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We got a lot to get to today, guys, here at Twin Peaks. Brian McFadden is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Two-time Super Bowl champion and co-host of All Things Covered and a CBS NFL analyst. Speaking of the NFL, you said it before we left last night about the Browns covering.
And it's a trap.
And did they cover?
Right.
Mike, there were a lot of things that went on in this game, but I just want to specifically point a couple of things out. And this hits home because we lived it the last couple of years. Last night, Mike, I thought Arthur Smith was thinking too much. And I know that they used Justin Fields in the game the week before against the Ravens. But Fields got 7 snaps last night in critical moments, 3rd and 4. Right, I mean, these are like move the chains.
Right,
they bring him in, they bring him in on a 3rd and 4, and they allow. And I say that because again, you come off the bench, you're not in rhythm. They allow Justin to throw this long pass. He doesn't connect, Mike, because again, he hasn't been throwing the football out there. But he does give you a different element. And I'm just saying, I'm watching this game last night. I'm like, why are you bringing Justin in when you need Russ to deliver the ball down the field? It just kind of didn't make any sense to me. And again, Steelers got outplayed. Browns played better. But, man, I thought those were critical plays in that game last night.
I don't know if they felt that is he going to be the designated runner, because that's what kind of felt that way. But he does, to your point, he has the big 30-yard run. His other two runs were stopped cold for loss. But he did have
because it's predictable.
Right. It's a 30-yard run. And so, Miles – and by the way, Miles Garrett, I'm going to have to remind you guys. I mean, all I was thinking last night watching Miles Garrett is, can we ever have a guy like that in a Falcon uniform? I mean, literally built like Charles Atlas – I mean, just throwing people around. I mean, getting after it. I mean, it was impressive.
It was. Let's hear Russ talking about rooting for Justin, because I just feel like, listen, you're the starter. You've been named the starter. You don't want to come out, and I don't care if it's for 7 plays or 70 plays, to give snaps to the guy that is now working behind you. And, oh, by the way, I think you're hurting the offense. But here's Russ being Russ.
I don't necessarily know when it's going to happen, but, you know, whenever it does, you know, all I want us to do is win. You know, that's all I care about, is, you know, whatever it takes for us to win. And obviously, you know, when Justin gets in there, I'm rooting for him to do great, you know, and make a big play or whatever it may be. And then when I go back in there, vice versa, you know, we're always rooting for each other.
It is tough. You know, last night we talked about Georgia Tech. That's done out of necessity because Haynes King's arm is, like, you know, basically hanging on by a string. But, yeah, if you're in the pros, I don't know, man. If I'm Russ Wilson, I just don't want to deal with that. Let me do what I do, get into momentum. And by the way, the downfield thing, even in that weather, he was making some big throws down the field, some chunk plays. It was a crazy game. Jameis throws the interception late, but then Pittsburgh basically goes into a shell. They use the clock wisely. They get the ball back, and then Jameis is able to drive down the field. And by the way, you see when Jameis scores, like, what the hell is hanging off his helmet? It's the battery to the speaker inside his helmet. I mean, only Jameis. I've never even seen anybody else have that happen to.
I agree. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's hear George Pickens, Mike. The conditions weren't as bad as we thought, especially in the first half.
Right.
I thought it was going to be worse. It was snowing, but it's Cleveland, guys. It wasn't a big deal. But George Pickens had the audacity to say the conditions saved the Browns.
Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
Well, they beat you.
I told Carl when we were hanging out here before the show here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, look, maybe he grows up, maybe he never grows up, maybe he's just always going to be like a knucklehead. Just say, look, hey, man, we know we got a better squad, but, man, any given day in the NFL, tip your cap. They came with some physicality. But, no, be a punk and basically just be like sour grapes after they just punched you in the mouth in weather that you couldn't handle. End of story.
That's it.
I just thought it was jive, man. Just respect the game and get him next time.
Well, they'll get a chance to see him at home, and Pickens can maybe back his big mouth up. But, yeah, I just thought that, like, now you're saying the weather was the reason you lost. Come on, bro.
You had the lead.
Yeah.
That's the 2 minutes to go.
And you lose the game.
Yeah.
Here is Jameis Winston, Mike. These are becoming famous, right? These pregame speeches and whatever he's saying to his team.
I think it's more a stream of consciousness than a speech.
I would agree. I would agree. This is a courtesy of Amazon and Winston talking about the horses being ready.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
He did work the sponsorship for the branding of the stadium in there, and he also praised the Lord.
Yeah, let me ask you, though. I mean,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is God really going, you know, I like the Browns tonight?
Well, you know what? I mean, come on. When we get up there, we'll find out. You know, apparently, according to a lot of players, God is very vested in the NFL.
Yeah.
And college football, for that matter.
And
occasionally the NBA, and occasionally baseball.
I'm a man of faith. I respect right. Jameis.
Of course, he's prepared for battle.
Yes.
But victory comes from the Lord.
Yes.
So I'm depending on the Lord.
I'm all about right. that. But I just find it interesting when we get in these situations and guys are like, yeah, Sky tonight, he willed the Browns to victory tonight.
The old George Carlin bit is on the days you lose, I guess God wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I get it. And we have a lot of our audience, we're here in the South. And so I don't want to be blaspheming. But, yes, that's Jameis, and the faith is important to him. And, look, as long as – it doesn't matter if we think he's a goofball, as long as the guys in that locker room love this guy and everywhere he's been. Even when he decided, hey, let's go run a touchdown, even though the coach tells us to take victory formation, these guys run with it. And they love this dude.
Good
thing. It's a spark. Good for him, man.
No. Listen, it's fun from the standpoint of it's entertaining to us. There's no doubt. And that part of it I enjoy. And he's been entertaining since he took over the job from Deshaun Watson. But I will say this, too. Because of his risk-taking, they actually are doing things, moving the football in a way that they weren't doing in the first six or seven games.
No.
At all.
No.
And so, you know, you say what you want. You will take a Jameis pick, but you also take a 30 or 50-yard shot down the field because he's going to do that.
And certainly in the end zone, man, the physicality of that. I mean, he took a shot when he goes in the end zone when the battery pops out of his helmet. Also, I thought Al Michaels was on his game. I guess it took the snow and being up in Cleveland for Al to be a little more engaged this year.
Okay.
But he made a great point. Cleveland is one of the worst teams in the league. And those fans, almost to a man, stayed in there in the snow. I know it's the Midwest. You see all the guys with their shirts off. That's Cleveland. But I got to tell you, that was cool. That was kind of neat to see fans who were like, because it means so much to beat the Steelers. Those years, like, we're terrible to beat the Saints.
Absolutely.
You know, it just meant so much to those guys.
Hey, man, coming up, your chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Jason Bohannon's Led Zeppelin Evening. Stay tuned. We'll give you an opportunity to win those between now and 6. Also, when we get back, Brian McFadden's going to join us. Speaking of the Steelers, we'll get his take on last night and what he thinks about the upcoming games this weekend in the NFL. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
It is Dukes and Bell, and I mentioned that we have those Led Zeppelin tickets coming up here on the show, and I may have said not Bonham, Bohannon. It is Jason Bonham. the experience. And you guys, stay tuned if you want to check that
maybe
out.
Maybe Coach Bohannon from Kennesaw State now has got time. Maybe he's in there. He's an extra percussionist.
I know. Well, he's going to collect a check, that's right. For sure. Hey, man, let's talk to BMAC. Brian McFadden, co-host of All Things Covered. Podcast is amazing and also CBS NFL analyst. BMAC, always good to have you on the show. All right, give me your thoughts of last night, man. I thought offensively the struggles were there, but why are they putting Justin in those times where I think they need to leave Russ in? I'm still having a hard time with the timing of some of this, even though I think they're trying to figure out and have some creativity.
Well, my initial thoughts about last night's game is that's why you don't play with your food. That's exactly why in the game of football, when you're the more superior, talented team, you go out and take care of business. Do not play with your food, because you will allow a team like the Cleveland Browns to gain confidence and eventually believe they can win the ball game. Cleveland got off to a fast start. Pittsburgh did not. Second half, when Pittsburgh started to get things going, they also had to deal with Mother Nature. Didn't have enough time. They had to fight from behind. That's not a good situation to be in when you're on the road. And you guys saw that firsthand weeks ago when Atlanta went on the road against New Orleans Saints. You do not play with your food. So when it comes to moving forward outside of that, Justin Fields at that time, they were trying to find a way to get something going offensively. So I don't actually have an issue with how they inserted Justin Fields in the game. I have more of an issue, why wasn't he more involved in red zone? Because you were stagnant in the red zone. When you look at Cleveland Browns last week, they could not stop Taysom Hill in the red zone.
Right.
And the thing about Taysom Hill, he kind of provides the same element that Justin Fields can provide in the red zone. He can become a plus one in the running game, and you can't account for him, and he still can make throws, red zone-like throws. So when they inserted Justin Fields, it actually helped the offense because that led to that scoring drive in the second half. But then you look at other moments where they were stagnant in the red zone, there lies an opportunity to bring a guy like Justin Fields in the game to see if he can give the same like production that Taysom Hill gave the New Orleans Saints against the Cleveland Browns over a week ago.
Yeah, I had to laugh watching some of that game this morning on NFL Network on the replay in the red zone running in the reverse with Cordarrelle Patterson. It's like, well, that's
exactly.
That's not going to work. By the way, man, Myles Garrett, they didn't trade Myles Garrett because that's a talent. You know, I guess, you know, because they don't go anywhere, we don't get to see them very much. But I was just telling Carl, I know, like, Captain Obvious here, but Myles Garrett is just one of the most unbelievable physical specimens. And then 3 sacks last night, just a force, throwing bodies around like he's like Thor.
Man, Myles Garrett is one of those dudes where he wasn't really birthed. He was created. You know, most of us are born. We're birthed. He was created. He was put together at some factory, and they were like, we need to create a legit defensive end prospect. That's where he was created. And he put forth one of his best performances in a game where he was going against, it's kind of like his arch nemesis in T.J. Watt, 2 guys that have been highly respected in the National Football League as elite pass rushers. And he wanted to go out and show that he is a high-level guy, if not the guy, and his play backed his statement. And not to mention, the most important thing, they won. Myles Garrett controlled the game in the first half. And that led to a fast start by the Cleveland Browns. They did a better job, Pittsburgh, against Myles Garrett in the second half. But in the first half, did you forget that he is a guy who is one of one and you should not allow him to have one-on-one opportunities? Look at TJ. He was double-teamed in and out by Cleveland Browns. Pittsburgh should have had that same mindset offensively. This is the guy who's not going to beat us.
Yeah, does it give you reason to pause for the Steelers just from an offensive standpoint? Struggles last week, struggles this week. We talk about the Falcons, similar kind of deal. It's been 2 weeks in a row where you're like, okay, why are we struggling? Why can't we get anything going?
No, it's not giving me a reason to pause. I'm not overly concerned because, you know, to the question about how stagnant the offense was for Pittsburgh, in the second half they played better in bad conditions. You know, that post route that Russell threw to Calvin Austin was a thing of beauty. You know, he was still pushing the football down the football field. Now, the concern that I have for the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is red zone, right? They were 1-3 in the red zone. That's not winning football. You cannot settle for field goals and thinking you're going to beat good teams. Heck, you can't beat bad teams if you're settling for field goals. So that's the thing that I would love to see become more productive, more, consistent. And you guys know about this, when Arthur Smith was in Atlanta last year, he had some red zone issues as well. So now you got to find a way to get creative and capitalize on those touchdown opportunities.
It is our man, Brian McFadden. Catch his podcast, by the way, with Patrick Peterson, All Things Covered. He joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline as we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. A couple of games this weekend. A bunch of teams on a bye, including us, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Jacksonville Jets are out as well. But we do have some games involving the Chargers. Now, we're going to see the Chargers here coming up out of the bye. Talk about that defense, Bryant, because Jim Harbaugh, I know I mentioned his name. A lot of guys were literally going, no, screaming at me like I'm a nitwit. Well, I get that a lot. But Harbaugh and what he's done with the Chargers is pretty darn impressive.
No question. Coach Harbaugh was born to coach football. That's it. He has the personality that players gravitate to. They trust him. They believe that he is going to put them in position to be successful. And he has turned around an organization in a way in which we thought it would take time. Now, when you talk about his defense, that's a very, very stout, feisty defense. And they don't really blow you away with their numbers, but when you look at the final box score, they dominated. And we're going to get a real good test for the Chargers this week. Heck, we just got a test from them last week because I felt like that was a statement game against Cincinnati. Yes, Cincinnati was a few games below 500, but that's an offense. If you're not careful, they can win a ball game for you. And the thing that I love about the Chargers, we've been talking about their defense, but now Justin Herbert is now throwing it around the yard. Early in the year, September, it was about running the football, playing good defense. Now Justin Herbert is implementing a passing game in a high clip for their team, which has provided a sense of balance. And old Ladd McConkey, you know, the former Bulldog, he's really become the wide receiver one for them as well. And it's nice to see the relationship that he's established with his quarterback and Justin Herbert. So you talked about the Chargers, who's up next for Atlanta. This is another game when you talk about what Atlanta has faced off against. Teams that are really playing with a lot of confidence, teams that have really good defense, because you look at the defense that Atlanta saw the last outing against the Denver Broncos, the Chargers will present some of the same challenges that the Broncos defense presented to Kirk Cousins. So this is a very, very difficult stretch for Atlanta because you have a nice lead in your division, but Tampa is starting to get healthy, and Tampa has an easy stretch the rest of the way if you look at the rest of their schedule.
B-Mac, there's something new that's going on in the NFL, at least over the last few years, and we haven't seen it. Teams have always taken the cap hit, eaten the dead money, but they usually waited. You go back, Derek Carr, benched, injury guarantee, we're not going to risk it. Russell Wilson, benched, injury guarantee, we're not going to risk it. And we saw the Giants do it. And then today, the Giants, to Daniel Jones' request, released him. This is the new NFL, isn't it? When these quarterbacks and these contracts are so big and they're not working out, this gives a team an opportunity to get out of it without having to pay this additional money.
Yes, but also, too, Carl and Mike, it puts more of an emphasis on the individuals that are okay in these contracts. The thing about the Giants situation, I believe Brian Daboll is a really, really good coach. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the troops that he needs to go to war with. But who made that possible? Joe Shane. Remember in Hard Knocks, the offseason version with the New York Giants, Joe Shane stood on a table and vouched for Daniel Jones, stood on the table and said, we're going to add pieces. We're going to let Saquon walk and let him go out and find his market. But I believe it's best that we build pieces around Daniel Jones so we can get the best Daniel Jones and be the best team that we can be. And guess what? The owner was like, I'm going to have a hard time sleeping if Saquon happens to go to Philly. Well, that actually happened. He hasn't slept since.
Right.
Clearly, he got bags underneath his eyes because he hasn't slept since that happened. And Saquon is once again balling. Philadelphia looks like a really, really good team with Saquon. And you just released a quarterback who you gave over $60 million to 2.5 years ago. And you're still losing ball games. So that's the thing. It's like, I got a question, guys. I'm not a GM. You two are not a GM either. But when Daniel Jones came out of Duke, I said he wasn't even the best quarterback in the ACC.
Yep.
So why would you take him top 10 and try to make him something that he's never been? That doesn't make any sense. So for the Giants, they're resetting their clock all over again. Think about that. Right. You know what I mean? So it's going to be some dog years for the Giants, and hopefully they can rectify the issue sooner than later. But this has been an ultimate debacle, and unfortunately for Joe Shane, because of that Hard Knocks offseason, we actually saw who made the decisions and how it all panned out.
Yep, I was just saying yesterday, Brian. I mean, he should probably get the gate just like the Jets GM. I'd fire him in like yesterday. By the way, to Carl's point, Giants take on $47.1 million in dead money this year, $22.2 million next year. So by releasing him, the Giants free up $19.4 million in cap space next year. So they can try to do something.
And get this, Carl and Mike. You gave $5 million to Drew Locke, who you demoted to be
not even playing
strength quarterback, exactly. That $5 million could have went to maybe Saquon. You could have found a way to negotiate that $5 million that you give a Drew Locke who's not playing, and you should have told Daniel Jones, man, this is what we need to do is kind of find a way to move your contract around to be able to keep a guy like Saquon, because if Daniel Jones was smart, he would have said, I'm a better quarterback if I have Saquon. You know who's a better quarterback with Saquon? Jalen Hurts. Look how that working out.
Right. Hey, by the way, keep it in New York. Would you release Aaron Rodgers if you're the Jets at the end of the year?
No question. I think that would be the best thing, but I don't think the owner would okay that. I think when you look at what Aaron Rodgers has done since being there, and I'm not saying he personally had Robert Saleh fired. I'm not saying that. But look at all the moves that happened because he really wanted them to happen. Remember they brought in Randall Cobb the first year. Randall Cobb was towards the end of his career. Didn't have anything left. They brought him in. They gave Alan Lazardo with $30 million. Because why? Aaron Rodgers wanted him in, right? Davante Adams, he brought him in finally. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers wanted him in. So when you look at everything that they obliged to with Aaron Rodgers, if he wants to play, I think they would keep him on the roster, which probably wouldn't be a good thing because the dead money and cap that goes to him, you can't bring in any other guys. And if he isn't good in 2024, why would you think he would be a better quarterback in 2025?
Yeah, he's not. I agree. This is not going to get better. And despite the fact that he's gotten everything that he's wanted there with the Jets. B-Mac, man, great job as always. We got to run. Enjoy the games this weekend. And we'll look forward to our visit next week.
All right, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Bryant McFadden, All Things Covered, the podcast, CBS NFL analyst.
Now, sometimes you and I get it right. We get it right more than we get it wrong. Otherwise, we wouldn't be on the radio. We did say at the time, Daniel Jones will never be a star in this league. We said this about, we got Zach Wilson, we got the Giants and the Jets, right? We talked about it at the time. It didn't make a lot of sense. That was Dave Gettleman.
That's
remember
right.
Dave Gettleman?
That's right.
Who had come from Carolina, and that was his stinker. And if you look at it, it's funny. There's an article in Sporting News today that says, just a week before the draft, he says, you do not draft for need, you don't force it. And that's exactly what he did. Daniel Jones. Bum.
Yeah. We'll see where he ends up.
He ends up on a golf course. He doesn't have to work another day in his life.
Well, he doesn't.
But he can wear a baseball hat somewhere on the sideline.
Yeah, he will probably be a backup somewhere. Coming up, guys, daily downloads on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. It's Dukes and Bell. Buckhead, this hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Thanks to B-Mac for stopping by. Coming up next hour, Mike, we had a great conversation with Brad Guzan and Atlanta United. By the way, you think we can get it done?
I mean, Orlando, they may score a goal or two, but, I mean, it's not impossible. The impossible task has already been accomplished.
Yep.
You beat Inter Miami, Lionel Messi, and a team of stars from Barcelona and from Spanish soccer. So I would think if you can do that, I think you can handle Orlando. And I know that from what I've seen on social media, there's going to be a ton of Five Stripes fans going down to Orlando this weekend.
Easy trip.
For this match, yeah.
Easy trip. Yeah, I'm curious to see how we respond after that big upset. The good news is, unlike you having to play immediately after the upset of Miami, you got some time off. You got some time to kind of, you know, calm down a little bit, review things and see what was what. But, yeah, I hope they play well against them, the Orlando team.
Got to give a shout-out. Drunk Larry just rolled in. I mean, one of the greatest friends ever. You know, I've known him now going on 26 years. Met him 25 years. Met him through Craig Sager. He just brought us a bunch of Tommy Bahama's Falcons gear. And, I mean, this guy, look at this. And now,
what is this, a blanket?
What is this, a blanket, Larry? I mean, is this bedding? What the hell, man? Larry just apparently went to hog wild at Tommy Bahama's.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Just want to give a shout-out. Season ticket holder for the Braves and the Falcons and a loyal Atlanta sports fan and a friend of Duke's Bell.
Yes, he is.
thanks, Larry.
And thanks for coming out, man, on a Friday. While we're giving shout-outs, I got to give a shout-out to Tim, our HVAC guy who came out, was looking at our heater. Now, I've been telling you guys to get your heaters checked out. And, Tim, I know you're listening because Tim lives over by Randy Mack. As a matter of fact, he said, oh, I've done some stuff at Randy's house. And he came in today, and we had a flute, Mike, not the actual this is the flute which runs
Not Andre 3000.
No. This is actually what runs from the main unit.
The exhaust.
Yes. That takes it to, the rest of the house. So we had a little bit of rust on it, and I was like, I'm a little concerned. And
right.
I saw it last year, but it wasn't as big of a spot. So I went down there like 2 days ago, and I told Michelle, I said, look, this spot doesn't look great. We probably should go ahead and get somebody to come check it out. So anyways, Tim was at the house today, and he walks in. Big fan of the show. Big
nice.
Fan of Mike Bell.
Hey.
She calls me and is like, look, he is about to take a look at this thing. And I hear, oh, my God.
So, that can't be good.
So, of course.
For any of you homeowners out there or yet to be homeowners, that's generally bad when that happens.
So I'm like, I'm on the phone. And I'm like, what's going on? Well, he just attempted to take a look at this thing, and the whole flute crumbled.
Oh, man.
The whole thing was rusted out. And like, so he's like, well,
I guess we need a new one.
I'm so glad you guys called me out. So long story short, man, Tim, thanks. He's going to get everything hooked up for us and fixed. But, man, I'm serious. When I tell you guys, get your system checked out. It is, you don't ever look at it until it's time. And now we're like, oh, some cold weather.
Right.
And I'm so glad I went down there to take a look because I'm rarely down there. So anyways,
Tim,
good job, man, and we appreciate you. But, yeah, it just his reaction, and then he was like, oh, this is going to need more than what I thought.
I'm going to go back to the truck.
Great.
So now you know. See, here's a public service from Dukes and Bell. Next time you have crud on your flute, you call Tim.
Got to do it. All right. So there's my public service announcement. All right, man.
Hey, man, a couple of guys hitting us up on the text line talking about last night's game. We're talking about with Bryant. One guy says, Bryant is too close to it. Talking about
Steelers. Yeah.
You know, he's a longtime Steeler. He won two Super Bowls with them.
Well, when I asked him, like, your concern is it gives you a reason to pause, here we are pausing with the Falcons because we can't score either.
Right.
The difference is you feel like their defense can carry them,
mm-hmm.
even if they're not scoring.
Right.
We don't feel that way. We feel like, okay, we're not scoring, but our defense is not going to be able to carry us. And that's probably why he feels that way. But I'm with you. I mean, I'm like, come on, man. This offense is struggling up there.
Look, it was an entertaining game. Al Michaels called it last night, saying this is one of the more entertaining games they've had on Thursday night, probably along with ours in our comeback win against Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there are some better ones in the second half of the season. But, yeah, watching that, there's just something about football in the snow. And I, you and I were just talking. No disrespect to Amazon, but too much of that overhead shot. You know, using the camera on wire. I just thought, man, give me the sideline. Sometimes I was like, did Russell Wilson get that? Is he sacked?
I have no idea
what the hell is going on last night.
You know what? All the angles are great, but sometimes I just want the traditional look.
Yeah, just give me the sideline shot.
Hey, man, come on out, hang out with us. We're out here until 6, Twin Peaks and Bughead. Is back at the studio. Of course, Turtle, our executive producer, is hanging out with us. Jersey Mike, our on-site engineer as well. What's coming up on the show?
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Falcons back to work next week, and it is arguably the biggest week of the season. We'll get to that and much more. Let's get to our daily download.
Story number one.
How about Aaron Philo and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets? Philo, 265 last night. Mike, you said it. The other quarterback, Haynes King, unable to really throw the football, so they needed Philo to do it, and he did.
Yeah, it was tough for Georgia Tech because you knew when Haynes King was in, it was more likely going to be a run. But then Philo stepped up. We talked about it, man. Some great numbers in high school football, 56 touchdowns as a senior, only a 3-star recruit, probably because of his size, you know, and he's not the most fleet of foot until it mattered. He had two big runs, including the scramble to win the game, put in the end zone. I thought they were dead in the water after NC State was down the field and scored late.
Yeah, I was nervous. There's no doubt.
But just one timeout, and hats off to Brent Key and his staff for good clock management. Running right.
58-yard field goal. It's no good at the end of the game. Time runs out. They did have a chance to win.
It had the distance. It was wide left.
It did. Yeah. And he hit it, and I went, oh. And then it just floated. It kept moving that way.
Wind was a huge factor last night in Pittsburgh and last night in the flats.
Here is Aaron Philo talking about that final drive and the touchdown.
It kind of takes me back to childhood when you got the basketball goal and you're just practice making like the game winning shot or whatever. I mean, it's a moment that you dream of. It's a moment that I've dreamt of, and to finally be in that moment, couldn't ask for anything more. It's cover two man. two high safeties and everyone else playing man underneath. They didn't have anybody for me, like, when I ran. So, I mean, just made the play.
Yeah, Brent Key was saying he loved that he saw that and then took advantage of it. He was not afraid, Mike, to go like, oh, I can run for 25 yards. I'm going to go ahead and do it. A lot of guys, Brent Key was saying after the game, a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't have done that simply because we got this play called. Let's try to hit it. And the kid was like, look, man, there's nobody defending me.
Well, I got to tell you know, watching the game last night, and I was thinking about our good friend George Godsey. Because Godsey was a guy that, you know, you never consider him fleet of foot.
Sure.
But there was a game, and Chris, it was Chris, our producer, this is back when Jim Donnan was the head coach of Georgia, and George O'Leary beat him back-to-back. But it was kind of wild because he actually scrambles at Sanford Stadium, and George tells a story about him running. He's running between the hash marks, and he's looking up on the big screen, and there's no one around him. And it's literally like you hear, like, the Chariots of Fire music. And so it wasn't as... This is what we saw Aaron Filo do last night, but Godsey kind of showed that ability when he was at Tech to make that kind of play. But what a great win, and don't lose momentum. You know, and now you feel confident. Look, it's going to be a tough task against Georgia. We get that, but you always feel that Brent Key's teams are going to be in these games.
Let's hear from Brent Key talking about his team's W last night.
Good win. I mean, all wins are good wins. You know, the guys, you know, they kept fighting, kept scrapping, gave up some plays. You know, didn't have a lot of success in different times, weren't consistent at times, but then found a way at the end to get what we needed.
Yeah, and that's all that matters. Like I always tell you guys, I don't care if we win by a half point, not possible, a point, 3 points, it doesn't matter. Just get it done, and that's what happened. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
It is all about Cleveland because they were at home last night. A lot of people said, hey, Steelers won four in a row. They're rolling right now. Steelers going to handle business. And I said I thought this would be kind of a grinded out kind of game.
It's a trap.
Well, here's what's crazy about this, man. Nick Chubb was crazy last night. He was doing everything. As a matter of fact, his head coach, Kevin Stefanski, said as much.
I don't think it meant anything other than he wants to do everything in his power to help this football team win. That Nick Chubb's the you know, he is the consummate teammate. He's the best I've been around in that regard, and he wants to help this team win.
We had that crazy number at the end of the show yesterday here on Dukes and Bell about how it's from the Akron newspaper. I found it online. Where they are, like, unbelievable on Thursday nights. The Browns are like money in the bank on Thursday nights.
They
and the
are.
Steelers, conversely, have lost a bunch of games in a row in Cleveland on Thursday nights. So for what it's worth, we give you some of the trends last night. I think we both like Cleveland, you know, give them a puncher's chance.
It was +4.
Yeah, but... That one was, you know, yes, George Pickens is right to a point. Yes, the weather was an issue on good on equal footing. Perhaps the Steelers run away with it. But still, anybody can step up. And that's a rivalry game. And that was their Super Bowl. That was huge. And the fans went bananas.
He talked about Chubb. This was Chubb scoring on a 2-yard run. It's made it 24-19.
Snap. Give to Chubb. Chubb running. Chubb, touchdown. Nick Chubb did it. He stayed on his feet. The Browns take the lead. 57 seconds to go, and the Browns lead the Steelers 24-19.
That would be your final score. Chubb, by the way, 20 carries, Mike, 59 yards, 2 touchdowns. But he was doing everything. It felt like he was involved in all the big plays for Cleveland last night, and that's why Stefanski was talking about it.
They showed like a 300-pound-plus guy with no shirt on in the snow. Al Michaels last night goes, I see his future, a direct flight to the Cleveland Clinic. But anyway, it was a great atmosphere. I loved it. I remember when you were a kid, back when the TV stopped at 13, but those games in Cleveland, those Steeler games, it just looks Buffalo 2 in the snow. It was awesome.
I still get... You know, goosebumps watching when we have games now, whether it's in Green Bay, it could be Chicago.
Right.
Those outdoor stadiums and those environments in the weather is what football's all about. And I you know, when we see those games, it doesn't happen as often. Like, I don't feel like as it did as kids. I don't know why, but last night was cool. And I thought it was going to be worse, honestly. When we left the studio, I was like, oh, right. I thought this weather, because this front was blowing in here, and we knew it was going to be worse up there. Hey, let's get to story number three, guys.
Story number three.
Your belief that as we get back to work next week, we're going to be able to handle our business against the Chargers. This is the task at hand for this coaching staff. Mike, this is a week in which I will spend next week a lot of time talking about Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson and the defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake. This is on them to get us right. You can point to all the guys you want to, But at some point, coaching matters. And you have to say, here's what you're doing wrong. Here's what you're doing wrong. And these things have to be corrected. Now, if the guys don't execute and live up to it against the Chargers, and let's just say we lose that game, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I feel like these guys will respond. But to me, this is one of those weeks, and we don't have them a lot, where the coaches have to do their part.
Right. I mean, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same result. If you're not going to blitz, if you're not going to try to send more guys and try to get some numbers, I don't know what you're going to do here. Now, I understand you made a great point against Denver with the secondary injuries. They probably didn't feel as comfortable doing that. But if we get more healthy guys, if Mike Hughes is back, if we get our regular corners out there, then we've got to be blitzing. And look, send Caden Ellis. Let's have some safety corner blitzes, too. Send Jesse Bates. Let's get Simmons involved. I mean, I know I say it every darn week, but I'll say it one more time. Let's either come home with your shield or on your shield. In other words, either you're dead because you died trying, but let's go get after it. Because to sit here, and as Bo Morgan said on the morning shift, to die from 1,000 cuts, that's not good, man. And it just seems like the underneath stuff sustains drives. We're the worst team in the NFL in getting teams off the field on third down. And I just don't think our defense with our current – let's be honest, Carl, with our makeup in the front seven,
yep,
can really get the job done the way it's being played.
We're going to see. Adjustments matter. We'll see what adjustments are made and the approach next week as we get back to work.
Hey, Chargers Monday night, so we do get them on a shorter turnaround.
Yep.
They'll play the Ravens, but the Ravens have no defense. That's a hell of a Monday night game, too, by the way, in L.A.
It is. I just think the Ravens secondary is susceptible to giving up a lot, and we've seen that all season long. We'll see what happens, but that's where I'm at with the Falcons, guys. Coming up, NFL Blitz, Daniel Jones, he gone. Jerry Jones talks about Deion Sanders and Rex Ryan as the coach of the Jets again. Stay right there.